content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. VegWorld Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at VegWorldMag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at SportsNutritionSociety.org. And Thorne Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at OneLifeRadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Baby, I know I do. Welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, and we are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. It's Furbulous Friday, TGIF, everyone out there listening. How you doing, Junior?
Oh, man, I'm loving the extra energy on this beautiful Friday. This is awesome. Such a good day today.
It is such a great day. It is. And this is our final day of the Texas Veggie Fair.
I know.
On the
what
air
an awesome
2020.
Week.
It has been an awesome week. It's been a bit exhausting because it was a lot of extra work, but I'm glad we did it. And I hope everybody's enjoyed it. You know, it's about awareness at the end of the day for all of us.
Yeah,
education and awareness.
Exactly.
Right?
And it was the first time you did it. So, you know, it was kind of a learning process as we went through. But I thought, you know, like I said yesterday, as a person that's not really into, I've never done the vegan lifestyle. I really did learn a lot. I thought it was very informative all week and really enjoyed the show. So looking forward to today's guests too.
Yeah, me too. So we've got Amy McNutt at the half. She is the founder of the Spiral Diner and Bakery here in Dallas. She opened in 2002, an incredible story. I can't wait to hear it straight from her mouth, or the horse's mouth. I was going to say horses first, and I thought, oh, maybe that's not appropriate. But, you know, you got to be careful. You just got to be careful how you handle things nowadays. Yeah. But speaking of vegan, we have an incredible vegan advocate here with us today, right out of the gate, Victor Flores. He is the online and community outreach specialist for Vegan Outreach, which is a global nonprofit organization working to end violence against animals. As the community outreach specialist, he has hosted many vegan-themed events in New Mexico and has helped launch 10 Weeks to Vegan Español and manages the Vegan Food Aid Program in Albuquerque, New Mexico, helping undocumented families and Navajo, the Navajo Nation. Victor and his partner Carla and their children are a vegan family of six, and they love working together promoting vegan events and most recently opened Route 66, a vegan food truck based in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Victor also co-founded Camp V, an all-vegan summer camp for kids at La Raza Vegana. How's my Spanish?
Way better than mine. That was good.
A Facebook page dedicated to vegan topics in Spanish and the plant-powered pop-up market. Their website is veganoutreach.org. Such an honor to introduce Victor Flores. How are you doing today, Victor?
I'm good, Bernadette. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's so great to have you on the show, and it's the final day of the Texas Veggie Fair 2020, and so honored to have you with us. So let's hear all about this. So what you're doing just seems like so incredibly cool. So what is the mission of the Vegan Outreach?
Well, Vegan Outreach is a nonprofit organization that started in 1993 by Jack Norris. And basically, our mission as a nonprofit organization is to end violence towards animals and, of course, looking towards a future where sentient animals are no longer exploited as commodities. So that's the bottom core, I guess, of our organization. That being said, of course, I mean, this can include a variety of different things regarding booklets, certain types of activism, food, community outreach, working with different communities in different areas of different cities, and just reaching out to people and kind of meeting them where they're at, and also exposing them to veganism, because me personally growing up, I was never exposed to any of this, anything about animal rights, anything about your diet, anything like that, anything about the environment. So I think our really big thing is to really get out there and show people what all this vegan thing is about, I guess.
Yeah, no, I love it. I love your attitude about it as well. So Jack Norris started this. I believe that's what you said the name was. And so how did you become involved in the group?
Well, we became involved. Basically, we went vegan, I think, close to 5 years ago, or maybe a little bit more than that. And my partner, Carla, it's because of her, my whole family went vegan. And we went vegan for ethics. And she wanted to get more involved because we got the food thing down. It wasn't too much of a struggle, but she felt she wanted to do more. So she started volunteering with a variety of different animal rights organizations, Vegan Outreach being one of them. And due to where we were located, kind of in the Southwest, Vegan Outreach was one of the few that was kind of active in the area. And they would come to universities and pass out booklets. So Carla decided to go volunteer with them, and I kind of followed suit after that, and we started doing different things with them, and then finally I got hired with them, and I was just thinking it's almost going to be 4 years because elections were going on last time. We were kind of talking to Vegan Outreach and got involved with them, working with them, and the rest is history, I guess.
Well, it's great work that you're doing. It is. And when I read headlines like this, this is from 2017. I just happened to see it this morning in my office, and I thought, oh, I got to pull this for Victor and see what he has to say about this. This is on the cover of a magazine. I'm not even going to say which one because I don't want to create any kind of hate out there. But it was on the cover of a magazine, and the cover story was the picture of a beautiful little black and white rabbit. And it says, "The case for raising rabbits, low maintenance, high profit margins, bunnies may just be the next big thing in livestock." What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think I remember that headline. Yeah, it's it seems there's always new ways to try to justify our bad habits, right? And I don't know, people are always trying to keep the exploitation of animals involved in our lifestyle, you know,
right,
even when we have the choice of not even having to have them.
Well,
so yeah, I think it's bad.
Yeah, and rabbits are so sweet, and they're so scared all the time. Even in, you know, they just get scared so easily. You know, and the rabbit fur market has been kind of eliminated by being exposed by organizations like Mercy for Animals and PETA. You know, Nathan Runkel, I know this was something that he was very passionate about. And yet here we are now taking those rabbit farmers, and it's unconscionable to me in a headline when we're talking about a living thing to talk about high profit margins. It just doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah. Bottom line, money is the root of all evil. I guess we can look at it that way. And it's always been the core of exploitation, whether it be in non-humans or humans themselves. And it's like we're 2020 already, and we still can't get over certain things. And for us living in New Mexico, I mean, and from practically my whole life, I grew up in rural areas and, you know, on ranches and the country. And, you know, so I understand kind of that, I don't even like using the word heritage or the culture of it, but it's something that we need to evolve away from. And I think little by little, people are understanding that. And, you know, for us, Vegan Outreach being involved in New Mexico and part of Texas and, you know, where it's mainly ranch and hunting and all that stuff, I'm very proud to be part of this organization because a lot of other organizations don't have the reach or aren't in this area because it's more sparsely populated, so they feel they won't have such a big impact. But I think it's important that we reach as many people as we can, and especially in these types of communities where they're not really exposed to any of this. And again, me growing up in the panhandle of Texas, close to Amarillo, I never knew a vegetarian, much less a vegan, didn't know any of this. But I felt if I would have been exposed to this sooner, I could have maybe understood it, you know, a lot quicker and maybe gone vegan a lot sooner.
Yeah. Well, you know, I love that you have this 10 weeks to vegan program, and I want to bring Junior in on this because Junior's going to need your help. We got all these people that have been on the air this week. You know, Jamie Scott's going to help them. Who was it the other day that was going to help you too?
Oh, the bearded vegan, Andy Tobar? Is that
yeah,
what he
said? Yes.
Tabar. Sorry.
No. He wonderful guys like you, Victor. Okay, so, you know, Junior had decided through all this process that we've been going through for the last couple of weeks that maybe he would try to go vegan the 1st of January for 30 days. So let's talk about this. 10 weeks to vegan. How does this program work?
Yeah. Well, just to go back there a little bit, you're in good hands, Junior, with Jamie and Andy.
Okay, good.
Guys, and
I'm going to need all the help I can get. So.
Yeah, and I'm happy to help you. And again, I'm talking from I don't know if you're from Texas originally. I'm from Texas, and so I get it, man. I know there's some obstacles there with the social aspect, but
that's why I figured I'd wait for after the holidays. So you know what I mean. I figured the holidays would make it even harder, so I'm going to wait for after that. So.
Yeah, and that's a misconception because there is. I mean, me and my family is six. We have our Thanksgiving meals, you know, we have our Christmas meals, we have all our holiday meals. And, you know, there's even vegan roast, you know, that replace your turkey.
Oh, okay.
Actually tastes good. So I won't guide you to anything that's not delicious.
Perfect.
But, you know, I swear everything I eat is great. But, you know, so you're in good hands with everybody here working with you. So it shouldn't be too much of a struggle once you figure out, you know, what to buy and what to get for yourself. So you'll be doing fine.
Yeah, that's why I think I need the guidance, you know, is the what I need to get, how to prepare myself, stuff like that. So, yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I would guess that you probably not that you need to lose weight, but you probably lose a little weight.
I would love to,
you know, and get a little healthier. I know for me, like a lot of times, I'll just have a Sun Warrior protein shake in the morning. That's my protein in the morning. A lot of times, not always, but you know, it's a quick, easy fix, especially if you're going vegan and stuff like that will help. But what are some other tips and tricks, Victor, in the 10 weeks to vegan program you wish you would have known starting out?
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, if you haven't signed up already at 10 Weeks to Vegan, you know, our 10weeks.org, I guess, is our website, but you can also go to veganoutreach.org and sign up there. And this program has been just exploding, and especially with the pandemic, our work dynamic has changed, so we've gone to online a lot. And also, we already had this program before the pandemic hit here in the U.S., but we've expanded to a lot of different countries now. And, you know, we set a goal this year of signing up 200,000 people. We just hit that goal last month. So we're super excited, a lot of interest into it. And the program itself basically is just one email per week for 10 weeks. And that email includes recipes, which are super important because when I went vegan, I had to do a lot of my own research, didn't know where to look, didn't know what to do, more or less. Mm-hmm. You know, I had an idea of what I wanted to eat, but, you know, I just didn't know what to find. So the recipes are always going to be your best friend regardless. And that being said, too, I mean, you don't have to search vegan recipes per se. You can take all these meat-based recipes, dairy-based recipes, egg-based recipes, and just tweak those out and use some of these alternatives that are available. And that'll open up a lot of different things, you know, because some I had a friend one time, I'm looking up for vegan tacos, how do I make this? And they're okay, but that's not what I'm used to eating. Mm-hmm. But once you look up like a meat-based taco recipe and you just use maybe like a Gardein alternative or a Beyond Meat alternative in there to replace the meat product, it just makes things a lot easier. So recipes are super important. The other thing you get with the 10 Weeks to Vegan program is a lot of info on the new products that are available. I mean, me, before the pandemic hit, we were doing a lot of community outreach work, going to festivals, different community events, university events, and we talked to people in person, and they had no idea that alternatives existed. You know, that's one of the biggest things. Like, people just think you're going to eat lettuce the rest of your life, some quinoa and broccoli. But, no, man, there's tons of different things that, you know, you can use, you know, to your liking. People might not want to use alternatives and they go straight up veggie, and that's fine too. But again, I think for most of us coming from the standard American diet, me myself from, you know, growing up in a community where it's very meat intensive, I think it assisted me a lot, and it still assists me today. Not that I need assistance, but I enjoy it. And I think it's good to have a treat here and there once in a while. So just know that, you know, we don't go out there to the community and tell them, hey, just go eat a bunch of vegan ice cream and there's vegan cookies and this and that. But just the idea of knowing that that option is there as a vegan is very important, you know, that you can, hey, once in a while, yeah, I want an ice cream treat and know that. So the other, you know, aspect of 10 weeks is that you get to know about some of these products that are available. And usually each week we talk about each different animal products. So maybe the first week might be about beef, how to replace that and what alternatives exist. Another one might be about chicken, fish, cheese, you know, dairy products, eggs. So we'll across that. And I think the best thing about the program, it's not overwhelming. It's not intimidating. It's not like forcing you to, oh my God, this is crazy. It's totally going to change everything I have to do. It's just kind of, it's a subtle way of kind of receiving this information and kind of, you know, when you're talking to somebody that's not vegan, it kind of maybe getting a little too preachy. They might put up their defenses and like, who is
never
this person
preach.
Trying to tell me how to eat and stuff like
Yeah.
So people start lowering their defenses once you become more relatable.
Yeah.
And I think we concentrate heavily on comfort foods because, again, people coming from the standard American diet, that's what they're used to. And we got work, we got school, you know. So we need those comfort foods in our life, at least to transition if you want. And you can take it as far as you'd like. Again, you know, that's another big component of 10 weeks is to sharing. Mm-hmm. You know, more or less where you could buy these products, what's available. I was like, oh my God, I want to make this recipe, but how do I replace this? Hey,
it's
here's a
product
for it.
It's not that hard. We have to go to break, though. We have to go to break real quick. We're a little over on the clock. We're going to go to break. We're going to come right back with Victor Flores. I love this conversation. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to Texas Veggie Fair on the air 2020 here on One Life Radio.
Listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
Hey guys, have y'all downloaded Sun Warrior's new app yet? They have some new products exclusively available on their app. Sun Warrior's Clean Greens and Protein is a clean and keto-friendly synergy of pea protein and a unique vegetable blend, providing the protein your body needs to build lean muscle as well as a full serving of vegetables to help your body function at an optimal level. Clean Greens and Protein uses the finest ingredients to make it easy to fuel your body throughout your busy day. Available in chocolate and tropical vanilla. Check out Sun Warrior's Clean Greens and Protein exclusively on their new app.
If you're like me, you want all of the health benefits organ meats have to offer, but without having to cook and eat them. Well, I have the solution. Our partner, Enviromedica, offers products like grass-fed organ complex, bone marrow, beef liver, and cartilage collagen. They are sourced from the evergreen pastures of New Zealand and then gently freeze-dried and encapsulated to preserve nutrient content. These supplements support immune function, metabolism, joints, ligaments, organ function, and overall wellness. Try today at Enviromedica.com. That's Enviromedica.com. Hey everyone, I've got some fabulous news. Castor and Pollux, a brand that I've used for years, has joined us as our official pet sponsor of One Life Radio. Castor and Pollux is the maker of America's number one organic pet food. Their Organics line of recipes is the only complete line of USDA organically certified pet food. And their pristine recipes are made with responsibly sourced ingredients such as wild-caught salmon and grass-fed beef. Castor and Pollux is the most comprehensive portfolio of purposeful pet food, setting the new standard in pet nutrition. Shop and order online at CastorPollexPet.com. That's CastorPollexPet.com. Or find it at Whole Foods, Natural Grocers, Sprouts, or Central Market.
We're back. More of One Life Radio starts now.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is the final day of the Texas Veggie Fair on the air of 2020. We have Victor Flores on the line with us. We're talking about vegan outreach, 10 weeks to vegan plan. Before we do, we've got to do the giveaway. I totally forgot about it. We were so deep in conversation. So this is the final giveaway. And then at the next break with Amy at the end of the show, we're going to be giving away the grand prize. So this is great. What's the giveaway today, Junior?
Yeah, so today for caller three at 214-787-1190, you are going to win a vegan outreach t-shirt. You're going to get Sun War Collagen Building Peptides and a Texas. Remember you said that at the beginning of the week? No, I just said it. A Texas Veggie Fair. I think it's because in veggie. You want to say Texi Veggie.
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah. Welcome to my world. Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. It's a Texas Veggie Fair bag. So caller three, you're going to get that. Plus, we're going to put your name in for the grand prize, which, as Bernadette said, we're going to give away at the end of the show today. So caller 214-787-1190. Caller three, good luck. I'm waiting for your calls.
Yeah, I want to get rid of this stuff. I've got my whole my stairway is full of stuff, you guys. Beautiful stuff. Oh, my goodness. What is the name of the jewelry designer that I can't pull it up right now and I don't have it in front of me?
Christy Robinson?
Yeah, that's it. So okay. I went on Etsy yesterday and I ordered four Christmas presents, four beautiful little necklaces they personalized them too from Christy. Her work is so, so great. So everyone, I encourage you to go check out her stuff. Cute little Christmas gifts for everyone and not a lot of money either. Like they start at $12, some of them. So
oh, nice.
Check it out on Etsy. Yeah, super cute. Well, let's get back to Victor. So Victor, Victor Flores is with us. He is the online and community outreach specialist for Vegan Outreach, a global nonprofit organization working to end violence against animals. And so right before the break, we were just talking about, you know, what the program is like and all that. So, and you have tons of recipes on your website, Victor, and you also offer online vegan cooking classes. So how can participants access the classes? Is it pretty easy?
Yeah, it's pretty easy. Basically, we usually announce them on our social media pages. So if you want to follow Vegan Outreach on Facebook and on Instagram, we'll usually announce what we have coming up. Usually what we do is we partner up with different chefs across the nation and have them show us how to make a pretty easy comfort food. We have another one coming up on Tuesday of next week. It's how to make a vegan chicken cutlets. So go to our Facebook page and you'll find the link there and be able to register. So yeah, and again, concentrating on comfort foods, making it easy for people to transition. And Junior, are you in Dallas?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. He's in Dallas.
Dallas is one of the, I don't know if you guys saw a report a while back. Dallas came up as one of the top 10 vegan cities, man, across the nation. You wouldn't think in Texas. But you got the Pizza Lounge, you got El Palote Panadería, you got so many other places. And of course, you got Spiral Diner that you'll be hearing about right now from Amy.
Yeah, I look forward to that.
For us, we took the kids. And I remember when we first went there, I was so inspired because it looked just like another regular restaurant. You had people coming in from church to eat, you know, people, you know, blue collar workers just coming in to grab a burger. Just looked like another diner, man. And it was just so normal. And I think that's what we need to do is normalize veganism. And then I think it'll progress a lot more. And I think, Spiral Diner is one of the big ones doing that. So yeah, right. I think, in Dallas, you guys got it made.
Yeah. Well, and it's not difficult. I have to tell our listeners, our regular listeners, it's not that difficult. And every one of us here speaking all have used to eat meat, you know, so there is no good or bad. It's a transition if you choose, even if it's several days a week, you know, so that we're all open minded, you know, for one another's diets, if you will. But what I was going to say is last week, and I talked about this on the air, I simply took Victor, a head of red cabbage, a head of yellow cabbage, chopped it all up, a big onion, two apples, caraway seed, olive oil, salt and pepper, sauteed it in a pan, set it out in another roasting pan. And then I put the bratwurst made by, oh my God, I had this already in my head and I just scrambled it, but field roast, that's it. Okay, so field roast, it was a bratwurst. And so I laid the four bratwursts on top, baked it in the oven. And I'm telling you, I had people over for dinner that night that could not believe how good it tasted. And so, and these are regular meat eaters too. So there's lots of different ways to do this thing, right?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, like I said, I don't think you have to view it as something so exotic. I always tell people, just pick five of your favorite dishes that you already eat and veganize those. You know, how do you veganize it? Well, look at the alternatives that you have. And that way it's not so exotic for you, because I think when you try to go towards like, oh, my God, I'm going to look up this recipe. Oh, it needs like 14 or 15 different ingredients. It's like, no, just cook with what you already have in the house. Just avoid the animal product and you'll be fine.
Yeah. I think it's good to start out cutting out the meat first. And then, you know, you don't ever want to do anything. If you've never been vegan before or even vegetarian, that's a great place to start, don't you think? And then slowly start replacing like the butter and the cheese. I think cheese is probably the hardest thing, especially for Americans, to give up. Would you agree, Victor?
I do. And that's usually the last one to go for a lot of people. And
and
again, I commend people for their progress, you know, because we would run into people and they tell us, oh, I like meat too much, but I don't do dairy anymore. I was like, well, good for you. You know, you're progressing. So you're ahead of other people that are eating all these animal products. So I think little by little, you can knock it out. And I think one of the other things big with vegan outreach and the 10 Weeks to Vegan program is we have a registered dietitian on there that kind of also gives you tips and advice, because there is tons of misinformation out there regarding veganism, that you're going to wither away, you won't get enough protein, you won't get this and that. There's a lot of misinformation. So try to get over that. And of course, the other big one is a lot of soy misinformation out there. If you go to veganhealth.org, which is run by also our registered dietitian, which is also Jack Norris, the founder of Vegan Outreach. So, I mean, we at Vegan Outreach, we're very proud of being very factual, not exaggerating things, and just showing people this is what it is and this is how to do it, and just being very clear. So, I mean, again, just try to avoid the misinformation out there if you're trying to go vegan, because there's a lot out there. And a lot of it is also put out there by other industries, especially the meat industry.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you being of Mexican descent, you know, you've been able to reach out to different groups. So do people's perceptions of veganism differ by demographic or by ethnicity?
Oh, yeah, that's totally true. Yeah, because I think, I mean, if you would see me in person, I think a lot of people think, oh, I would never assume you're vegan. I was like, what does that mean? You know, because I think a lot of us in our minds have a stereotypical view of a vegan, maybe hugging a tree, being a hippie, or also being white. And I think, you know, for a lot of people of color that have already been vegan, it's not nothing new that people of color have been going vegan. A lot of them have been vegan for many years.
Right.
It's just we're getting a little bit more of the spotlight now. And I think for us, when we were talking to people, it makes things more relatable. You know, it's like, if I meet you and I tell you and you're not German, it's like, oh, go vegan. You know, they have all these German products and you can enjoy that. It's like, I don't eat that food. How would I enjoy that? You know? So when I tell them what I eat every day and they recognize some of these cultural dishes, like, you know, menudo, pozole, tacos, burritos, enchiladas, like, oh, that's what I eat already. I was like, yeah, you know, I eat the same thing, man. It's just plant-based. And they're like, oh, okay, well, that doesn't sound so exotic or so hard to try. And so it's very important for me. For me and Carla, it's been very important to reach our people also in the communities that, again, growing up, I was never exposed to this. So I think it's important to expose these communities to the veganism aspect of things, and also having it come from people that look like them is also important.
Yeah.
Because you can have other people that might not be relatable and they're like, eh, I don't click with that. I don't understand that. This guy's probably not even telling me the truth. But you create that level of trust where, like, hey, man, I grew up in a ranching community. Oh, really? Me too. Because I had a lot of people here in New Mexico tell me, I would go vegan, but my dad has cows or we have pigs. And like, hey, I did too. Guess what? You know, and I'm vegan, you know, and I understand. So you can make yourself relatable, and that makes things a little bit easier for people.
Well, yeah, and there was a, I can't think of the name of it. I've been there multiple times. It's actually over in the Far East Dallas. It's a Mexican restaurant, and the whole family turned vegan. And I think that between Amy McNutt from the Spiral Diner and that restaurant, it's so, I hate that I can't think of the name of it.
But
I think that's it, yeah.
El Palote?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, they're good friends of ours, the Arias family.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, they're doing great things. You got to definitely go there, Junior, if you haven't. I mean, they got, classic, true Mexican food, authentic, you know, and it's all vegan. And it's just very impressive. And I think all these restaurants or people that share recipes, you're also activists yourself. You might not be out there on the front line or protesting or holding a sign, but you're showing people things that they might not be aware of and giving this food, because food is also another tool for activists. And I think it's so powerful because people are blown away. And when we recommend El Palote to people, even family members that are not vegan, they go there like, wow, that was actually pretty mm-hmm. good. So again, that's another thing is, you know, you could give statistics to people, share, you know, different facts and things about why you should go vegan. But once they try the food, they're like, oh, okay, that's a done deal. I'm going vegan, you know?
Yeah, no, it is. And it's been so great to have you on the air. We have a winner. What is the name, Junior?
It was Erin Collins, and she's from Dallas. So
nice.
She's getting hooked up with that that prize pack today that we
wow,
with the Vegan
wow,
Outreach
wow.
T-shirt and the Texas, not Texi, veggie bag, Texas Veggie Fair bag. So we'll hook her up with that, plus the grand prize coming up at the end of the show.
All right, Victor, we're going to go to break. We've got Amy coming up. I know you guys are all, you all know each other. And what great camaraderie I've experienced this week with all of the guys like you and the gals like Amy coming up here in a second. Just a lot of love going through the airways, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. All right, Victor. Thank you so much. Always, always great to have our Furbulous Fridays here on One Life Radio. We're going to go to break. Amy McNutt is coming up, and then the grand prize will be given away in the last part of the show. So stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio, Texas Veggie Fair on the air 2020.
Everybody, yeah. Rock your body, yeah. Everybody, yeah. Rock your body right. Backstreet's back, all right.
Hey, yeah. Oh my God, we're back again. Brothers, sisters, everybody sing. Gonna bring the flame, I'll show you how. Got a question for you, better answer now. Yeah.
Am I original?
Yeah.
Am I the only one?
Yeah.
Am I sexual?
Yeah.
Am I everything you need? You better rock your body now.
Everybody. Yeah. Rock your body.
Follow us on social media at One Life Radio.
Sun Warrior has made staying in ketosis clean and easy. Introducing Sun Warrior's plant-based clean keto protein peptides. Add this delicious fat-burning fuel with essential vitamins, minerals, and fiber to your favorite beverage. Improve your energy, metabolism, and overall health with plant-based clean keto protein peptides. Download the Sun Warrior app or go to sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. Can you believe how much hand washing and surface sanitizing we've been doing this year? We're keeping clean, but we're also eliminating all of the good bacteria our bodies need. This hypersanitization is wreaking havoc on our microbiomes. Through diet and lifestyle, our earliest ancestors were exposed to beneficial microbes found in the environment. We need a way to reintroduce that healthy bacteria into our daily lives. Enter Terra Flora by Enviromedica. A 2-in-1 probiotic plus prebiotic specifically formulated with spore-based microbes, similar to what was found in ancestral diets. Check out the entire line of Terra Flora probiotics at Enviromedica.com. That's Enviromedica.com. Hi, everyone. This is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagonline.com. That's paleomagonline.com.
Back with more positivity pouring out your speakers. It's One Life Radio.
Turn it up. All right. ready. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior live broadcasting from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. This is the final day of Texas Veggie Fair on the air 2020. We've got Amy McNutt here on the line with us. She is the founder of Spiral Diner and Bakery. It opened in 2002 out of her love for animals and the environment. And as one of the most unusual success stories in the restaurant world, Spiral Diner continues to thrive today with three locations and a production kitchen as well. Her goal is to show how we can enjoy the great flavors of comfort food without using animals. Married to James Johnston since 2003, they happily live in Fort Worth with their three rescue bunnies and two cats. Their website is spiraldiner.com. Such an honor, Amy McNutt. Welcome to One Life Radio, Texas Veggie Fair on the air 2020.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, it's so great to have you on the air with us. So you opened the first fully vegan restaurant in Dallas, and today you have three locations and a production kitchen. So how do you have how did you have the foresight, you know, to know or at least surmise that maybe that plant-based eating would become as popular as it is today?
I think it was mostly because I was so young and optimistic. It wasn't as much foresight as it was just hoping that the world would change in my direction. I didn't really do a ton of like market research and stuff like that beyond just kind of going to the grocery store and seeing what was available. And in Fort Worth, there was, you know, you could start to see different grocery stores offering, you know, plant-based meats and milks and all that stuff. And so I was like, okay, well, there's at least a handful of people that are into this. And our first location was so teeny tiny. It was like a lunch counter in a shared market, downtown Fort Worth. So it was, you know, very, like, we were able to take a little baby step. So, it wasn't as scary as opening like a whole big restaurant, you know, without doing a bunch of research.
Yeah, and starting small, and the passion, that's what I love. So your passion is what sparked this thing. But go back into your childhood or earlier years, or, you know, what was it that sparked you to have such a love for animals? Did you grow up in a house like that, or did you live in Fort Worth and, like, you know, your family was in maybe the cattle industry or something? What's your story?
Well, I grew up in South Lake. Before it was South Lake, it was still pretty small, you know, 40 years ago. I was just born this way. I just was always a softie for animals, even when I was really little. My dad was a softie. Neither one of my parents were vegetarian or vegan. My mom is now. She has been for a while, which is really awesome. But back then, you know, it was just normal, you know, raised in Texas and, you know. But I just, like, the very first time I ever saw a cow in a field, I was just like, oh, that's the cows that we eat. You know, even when I was really little, it clicked. And I don't know how, you know, it's just, I just really loved animals and I didn't want to hurt them. And then I, probably around the time I was old enough to really make my own decisions about what I wanted to eat, like 12, 13, you know, I was like, oh, I think I'm going to be vegetarian. And nobody in my family none of them poo-pooed it or anything like that. They were all supportive. And I mean, it was probably annoying for them to try to cook and stuff. So I ate a lot of peanut butter and jellies and cereal and stuff like that, growing up, cheese pizza, not very healthy when I was a kid. So then when I actually moved to California to go to college. And so that was where I really got exposed to veganism. And there were a lot of vegan restaurants out there at the time. And, this was like late 90s, early 2000s. And, I had always been eating eggs and milk, you know, my whole life. I was like, oh, well, I'm vegetarian, so I need to really, you know, I don't eat meat, so I need to load up on eggs and milk to be healthy. And then I was walking down the boardwalk in Venice Beach one day, and this guy had a whole table set up with all this PETA literature, And he handed me one of those little flyers about what's wrong with dairy.
Uh-huh.
And it had never occurred to me ever that I was hurting a cow by drinking milk. And right. I saw this and I just was, you know, heartbroken. And so that was it. I was like, I had no idea this was how, you know, where milk came from. And then I, you know, grabbed all the literature I can. This was like before the internet. So everything was flyers and brochures and stuff and videos. And then learned about eggs and all that stuff. And then I just became, you know, obsessed with trying to get the word out, you know.
I get it. I had a similar path. You know, you just don't know what you don't know. And then once you discover it, you're like, what? I remember when I first became involved with PETA, and I just, even to this day, you know, I'm looking at their PETA global issue, their autumn issue of 2020. And it's just, you know, I mean, you know, they're working it all globally, all over the world. There's so much harm to animals. It's overwhelming sometimes. You really got to, you know, step back sometimes, because it's painful. It's emotionally and mentally painful to see it and know what's going on, and you feel so helpless. And so, but being a vegan or vegetarian or just starting Meatless Mondays, whatever, it all helps. And I guess, you know, that's the message that I want to get out from this whole week, is that we all come to you from no place of judgment. You know, it's a process, and until you're made aware, you really don't know the atrocities that are going on in the farming industry. And so, you know, and so for you from 2020, we'll go back to this now, because I think people love talking about food. I know I do. From 2002 to today, what would you say have been the most innovative vegan discoveries that you've made in your kitchen?
All of our recipes are pretty classic. You know, we're all about comfort food, and nothing is too crazy. So we're basically taking, you know, the like a traditional recipe and just veganizing it. But the biggest innovation that we've had in our kitchen is just the ease of finding the ingredients that we need. You know, I mean, back in the day when we very first opened, we couldn't even get like powdered sugar. You know, we had to make our own powdered sugars. So we had to throw, you know, cornstarch and vegan sugar in a blender and blend it up a little bit at a time. It was the worst.
Wow.
And now you can get all that stuff in, you know, bulk food service packaging. And so that's been a really big deal, just to make things easier, and slowly but surely getting things are becoming a little bit cheaper. We still use pretty expensive ingredients, but things have gotten a little bit easier over the years.
I had no idea that powdered sugar was not, it's just sugar, isn't it? Is there animal byproducts in powdered sugar?
A lot of white sugars, if it's cane sugar, it can be processed with bone char. So even though it's kind of one of those things like wine and beer, sometimes they're filtered with animal ingredients. And so even though it might not end up in the final product, you're still, just like with animal testing and stuff, the animals don't end up in the final product, but they are still harmed in the making of it, or you're still contributing your dollars to somewhere, you know, in that chain using an animal ingredient. So, and I think some people have different thresholds for what they're comfortable with when it comes to like the sugar thing. But if you get a white sugar if you don't check where exactly how it was processed, there's always the chance that it could have been processed with bone char. Beet sugar is always going to be vegan, but sometimes the cane sugars to make them bright white, they send them through a charcoal filter that can be made out of bones from, you know, it's like a byproduct from slaughterhouse.
Yeah, so, I feel like I should know that. I feel like I did know that at one time. There's a lot of information.
I mean, there's all
out
kinds
there.
Of weird stuff that you don't know until you like, oh right, like sometimes peanuts are coated with gelatin, and it's just all this stupid stuff. That you have to look out for. But with the sugar, now we're able to get powdered sugar that's made from raw, you know, unprocessed sugar. And so, you know, just little things like that have been really helpful. Being able to get big 5-gallon buckets of vegan A's and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's great. It's great What we're going to do the giveaway real quick. So save that thought. We're going to do the giveaway because I'm going to run out of time if I don't, because we got to get to the grand prize as well. I'm going to have you come back, Amy. It's been such an honor and pleasure to have you. But we're going to continue on here. We're going to go to the giveaway, Junior, and then go to break, and then we'll be back What are we giving away, this final giveaway?
So caller number three right now at 214-787-1190. You are going to get a gift card to Spiral Diner. So it is the first all-vegan restaurant in Dallas. So we're going to hook you up with that gift card. If you're caller three, 214-787-1190. Good luck.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait, everyone. Be sure to call 214-787-1190. More coming up with Amy McNutt. You're listening to Texas Veggie Fair on the air. We'll be right back.
You're all I ever wanted. You're all I ever needed. Yeah. So tell me what to do now. Cause I want you.
On Facebook, hit like and follow us at One Life Radio.
Have you ever wondered what fulvic minerals are exactly? Fulvic minerals, or fulvic acid, is a super nutrient that literally comes from the earth we walk on. You might not hear fulvic acid mentioned or named as often as probiotics, omega-3s, or kombucha for your health, but fulvic acid is extremely important for helping to boost the effectiveness of the immune system, aid digestion, detox, and protect your overall health. Liquid Light by Sun Warrior is rich with fulvic acid. It delivers essential nutrients and trace minerals. Liquid Light is an excellent source of iodine, which contributes to thyroid health. It's free of solvents, chemicals, or anything artificial. Check it out at sunwarrior.com. Sun Warrior, from the sun to the plant to you. Pour some Liquid Light into your day. Hi, Bernadette here. We are so happy to partner with companies like Enviromedica, makers of TerraFlora. TerraFlora mimics the biodiversity reflected in ancestral diets for superior gut health. TerraFlora is a 2-in-1 probiotic with prebiotic that promotes the balance of beneficial bacteria in the gut, supports digestion, and actually works. TerraFlora is paleo, keto, and vegan friendly, made with the highest quality ingredients from around the world. Try TerraFlora today at Enviromedica.com. That's Enviromedica.com.
Contagiously positive. One Life Radio is back.
All right. Everybody ready to wrap up this week? Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. We are live from Dallas, Texas. This is the Texas Veggie Fair on the air 2020. We are wrapping it up here with, I can't think of a better person to wrap this up with than Amy McNutt. She is the founder of Spiral Diner and Bakery. It opened in 2002 out of her love and passion for animals and the environment, and it's worked out well for you, Amy. We have a winner. Who's the winner, Junior? I know we have one. Oh, I guess he's on the call. We'll wait. I think he's on the phone with him now. I have to tell you, Amy, it's been really great this week. We have had our lines absolutely blow up, which is always a thrill. I do a radio show, when you put the number out and you get a lot of calls, it just makes you feel like you're doing the right thing. So,
that's great. Speaking
of doing the right thing, is that how you felt when you opened Spiral Diner? Did you feel like you were just giving a gift to the world?
maybe not like that, but I felt like I was providing a place for like-minded people to kind of come out of the woodworks and have an opportunity to go to a place that is all vegan that wasn't available to them before. I just kind of felt like there were definitely more people like me in Fort Worth and in DFW, and that luckily it proved to be true.
Well, in Fort Worth, too, you always think of Fort Worth real conservative, you know, steak eating, you know, just kind of down to earth. Just, I don't know, just like the salt of the earth, but a lot of meat consumption in Fort Worth. That's what I always thought of when I thought of Fort Worth. But there's little pockets of communities in Fort Worth that are so incredibly cool. Autumn Connolly.
Yeah.
You probably know Autumn. Warren Connolly lived in Fort Worth. I'm sure you know her. I know she went to Spiral Diner. She recently moved to Phoenix, but she's a regular on the show. She was really my first, like, full on, like, you know, I would call my crazy vegan friend that, like, really didn't, you know, that didn't eat any animal products. And she's such a lovely woman, too, you know, and she doesn't just talk the talk. She walks the walk, too. You know, I think that's a part of the vegan movement, too, is the ahimsa, the no harm that comes with it, not just to the animals, but to the people on the earth, all living things. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, so we are. I guess we have a winner. Junior, are you going to announce it?
Yes. Andy White was our final winner, so Woo-hoo! We put his name in for the grand prize, which I guess we're going to give away now, right?
Yeah, we're going to have to pick a number, Amy, because we've only got about 3 minutes.
Yeah, and, less than that, actually. So,
less than that. Okay,
yeah, so 1
my
through
clock
15.
Must be off. 1 through 15. Okay, Amy, what's the number going to be?
Let's do lucky number 7.
Lucky number seven.
That is going to be an Instagram entry, and that is Dina at Sunshine and Trance. So she is the winner right there. So she is going to get all kinds of stuff from Sun Warrior, Enviromedica, a signed copy of Animal Kind from Ingrid Newkirk, the president of PETA, canvas tote and koozie from Texas Veggie Fair, wine tumblers, and just so many things from, like, Compassion Company, the Christy Robinson design necklace, lots of stuff in this. So congratulations to Dina at Sunshine and Trance, our Instagram entry, and she's the winner of the grand prize.
Wow, there's so much stuff, you guys. There's Dr. Riz's plant-based DFW health clinic and Cineholic, right, in Richardson, and Michelle's granola sampler. And I think we covered it, right? A vegan outreach pop socket and T-shirt.
Yeah.
So much generosity, so much to give.
The Herbivore T-shirt company. Was on there too.
Yeah, so
much stuff. And I, you know, I had a drum roll all set up and ready to go, and then it didn't fire. The computer just froze. So
I think I have a drum roll here on my Rodecaster, but I'm afraid to push the wrong button because I haven't used my buttons in a while. But Amy, would you like to close? To close the ceremonies, and we've got about 30 seconds. What do you want people to know out there listening?
Oh, go check out Bunny Burrow Rabbit Rescue in Holcomb City. Go adopt a bunny.
Yeah, it's where you got your bunnies from, right? Bunny Burrow Rabbit Rescue. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll have to have them on the show. You know, we do the Furry Fridays, and we have since the beginning of One Life Radio. That is what has kept me on the air all these years. I've wanted to quit many times, but because I love the animals and I feel that we all have a job to do to help protect them, that's what's kept this show on the air. Thank you so much, Amy McNutt. Check out the Spiral Diner and Bakery. You won't be disappointed. I've eaten there many times. The food is fabulous. Amy, we'll talk to you later, okay? See you later, alligator. All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening. And you know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Live it with ahimsa.